quarter is odd.
Okay, I'd like to call the January 28th, 2025 Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting to order. I'd like to request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Dave Bench. Bo Miller.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Do you want to approve the minutes real quick and get that over with?
It's your meeting.
All right, I guess I'd like to make a motion to approve the January 14th, 2025 meeting minutes from the special meeting.
I move. Did you make the motion?
Yeah.
Oh, I can second that.
Sorry, two of you. So I was really going to figure out who did what today. Okay, roll call, Dave Bench. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, so I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our January 14th, 2025 regular meeting.
I can second that.
Roll call, Alex Litton?
Yes.
Dave Bench? Bo Miller?
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
Okay, next we're going to do things a little out of order. We're going to call Adam Hoff on the phone. He wants to talk about a couple things regarding the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy and two different grant projects we're working on in combination with them. So let me try and give him a call. Let's see. Good. How are you doing, Adam?
Doing fine, thank you.
All righty, we're here at the trustee meeting, and we got you on speakerphone.
Okay. Well, appreciate you guys working me in. Alex, I'm not sure. Should I start at the beginning, or did you give in the highlights?
You can start at the beginning. We just started the meeting, and we just figured we'd start with you.
Okay. So, Bo, doesn't sound like David's there, but or is David there this evening?
No, he's not.
Okay. Well, a joint funding application was submitted a couple years ago for Water Resource Development Act funding through the U.S. Senate. We received confirmation a couple months ago that we did get into the legislation and found out that it was going to be funded or basically worked through the Army Corps of Engineers. Today, Alex and I had a nice conference call with representatives from the Army Corps of Engineers, kind of talked through the process and procedures moving forward. And just want to give you guys a kind of a quick overview of where we are and where we're going next. The total grant request was just over $3 million. And what the legislation basically does is puts the Army Corps in position where they can then apply for budgeting through the Office of Budget Management at the federal government to get this project funded. But a couple caveats go along with that. One is that the fiscal year that we would be eligible to fall within is 2027. That starts in October of next year, 2026. And the second caveat to it is that they're going to be looking for a 50% match that would come from a combination of the township and the district. Now, we can get fairly creative in terms of how we get to that 50% level. A lot of pieces that we have to get to fall in place and make work, but we also have time to sort it out. We would end up having about 18 months to get it sorted out. But the first step in the process is to be able to provide the Army Corps with kind of a verbal that we are inclined to work with them. That will then push them to provide us with what's called a letter of intent or letter of interest, that they will provide us with draft, and then they would need that formal letter of intent signed and returned to them in April. Letter of intent in and of itself does not commit either the township nor the district or funding. That would not occur until after the grant agreement is issued, and which again would happen sometime, assuming everything goes forward in a timely manner, would happen sometime in October of 2026. So like you said before, we would have about 16 to 18 months to kind of figure out, you know, how we're going to pull these pieces together. So that's really probably the big issue. There's some other items go along with this, because we have also received notice of the Lake Erie Commission funds will be coming through. That grant is going to be in the amount of $148,000, what the final number came out to be, and we'll be working through that process here this year. I'm not sure whether that money can be used as part of the match or not, but we'll get that sorted out eventually too.
And we made it clear to the Army Corps of Engineers that even though we're working on this, that both the Conservancy District and the Township definitely doesn't have the funding to provide for the match. We're just sort of the facilitators. So they're aware of that after our meeting. We made them aware of that at our meeting today.
Yeah, it's certainly not something that you know, I don't think either group would be able to pull it right out of our general funds to come up with this. We would have to get pretty strategic in terms of how we pursue other money. But I'm sure we can start through the process and start to figure it out. Not knowing exactly what your policies and procedures are there at the township, I don't feel that there should be any formal action unless you so desire, until we decide to go forward with a letter of intent, which would have to be submitted by April 5th. So, you know, we have some time to still work through this, but I kind of wanted, and I apologize I'm not able to make it out there this evening to stand there face to face with you guys, but, just wanted to get your general sense, because we do need to provide at least this verbal indication to them no later than February 10th.
If you're asking, I don't see an issue with giving them a verbal intent on this, especially since, you know, neither agency is on the hook at, you know, we're committing, we're just giving them a letter of intent or a verbal. I'm good with that. I mean, this is a lot of money that I don't want to pass up, and hopefully we can figure out how to get it funded, you know.
Oh, man,
the matching part.
Definitely don't want to pass this money up. At least the opportunity.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. Well, you guys are okay, I'll continue collaborating with Alex, and we'll touch base. I'm going to confirm things with the district board members as well, make sure that they're comfortable with it, but at this point I don't see it being any issues, and we'll get something out to the Army Corps sometime then in the next week or so that they can get us a draft letter of intent, give us a chance to digest it, absorb it, and figure out what the next step
needs to be. All right.
Cool. All righty. Thank you, Adam. Seriously, thank you for everything.
Yep. No, you're very welcome. Glad to be able to do it. Also, wanted to reiterate that the Lake Erie Commission funds that $148,000. We should be seeing that grant agreement coming through shortly, which again is another positive step. It's overlapping with the work intended through the Army Corps of Engineers, but it's something that we can get done and accelerated, just completed a lot more quickly. And we did ask them specifically today if there would be any issue for us to pursue that work. As long as it wouldn't create a conflict with the Army Corps and their response, we know that it would not. And I'm going to even try to see if we can leverage some of that money as part of the, initial match as well. But we'll have to see if they'll accept it or not.
All right.
Cool. Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. No, thanks again, guys. And appreciate, Alex, your input and engagement on this process as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
right. Alrighty. We'll catch up later.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. I guess we'll move on back to the fiscal officer report.
We all have the reports in front of us.
Yep.
Fund status, $676,623.96 in Star, Ohio. $829,458.45 in checking. Warrants to approve 23380 for 23413, totaling $25,315.92. No deposits made since last meeting.
You can move to accept the fiscal officer's report as read.
I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Bill Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. So
I just want to say two things, I guess.
Sure.
It's not really agenda items, but received confirmation from the Board of Elections. They received the resolutions for both levies. So that's good. It's before the deadline of February 5th. And then I closed out the year in the UAN the other day, so that's done as well. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Zoning Department. I talked to Wendy today. She didn't have an update for this meeting. Zoning office hours tomorrow are adjusted. They're from 2 to 7 p.m. That's really about it. Rec Department.
All right. The only thing, I emailed you guys earlier today. The only thing I wanted to kind of take off of it was about the levy questions. Dave called and talked to me today about what was needed next from me. So I'm going to get together with the rec board and we'll figure out a plan of attack for how to promote that levy coming up in May. Believe it or not, spring sports have started their trainings already. With using some of the facilities for baseball and softball, so I've had several clubs reach out about using our fields at the rec for practice fields. I'm also going to talk to the rec board to see about putting up foul poles along the baseline so we can actually host games out there. We'll see how that goes. One thing I'm going to do here in the next week is I'm going to put out a recreation Google survey to the people to see what things they're interested in, what they want to see moving forward from the rec permit. I'm working on a trifold flyer to point out all the great things that we've been doing over the past few years to benefit the community. I have a meeting with the Red Cross on Friday, February 7th at 11:20 to go over the blood drives that are going on here and what we can do to increase attendance of those. The attendance have met the goals the last probably 12 times that we've had it, so it's been great. She just wanted to reach out and see what we can do to kind of make those look more fun for people to come in and donate blood. So that's really all I have. Do you guys have anything for me?
Nope, not at this time. All right. Thank you. Fire department.
Well, good evening, everyone. Everything's going pretty well for the fire department. We had a very successful ice rescue this weekend. Everything just went exactly as training helps us with. So beyond that, everything else is normal. I did receive the information from EMA Director Abby Bischoff on the new Everbridge system, and there's a contractual information that you guys are going to have to look at and everything. So
yeah, we got the,
oh, you got it.
Yeah, we got it.
All right.
Yep.
So however, whatever you guys decide to do with that, I did have that for you to look at. And I don't know that I need any action from you. I just, the our employee assistant program is with ProMedica, and I spoke with Chris, and he's going to be coming out February 5th to the station, which is next week for our business meeting, and he's going to address it. I encourage the trustees to come and attend. I've also reached out to him for delivery of the required harassment information. So he's going to let me know on that. So I'm gonna entertain that, as it's good if we change it up and we have different people deliver it, because we're delivering, you know, the required information as well as some additional information. So again, I do want to encourage trustees, if you can come next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and meet with Chris too, and that would work out pretty well for us. Maintenance wise, I just want to share with you, we've been having a little trouble with our Medic 32. That's our 2017 rig. That's the Red Rescue Squad, and but we're handling it. But it's a heating and cooling issue on there. So we currently have the new truck hooked up to the trailer, and that's right now because of ice rescues that are coming in. The labeling is not completed yet, so it still has to get the striping on it yet, but that's to come. It was interesting, the gap that we had on Saturday on the ice, and then a surveillance yesterday showed we had a lot of open water, and today going up there, all the ice pushed back at us, and I expect tonight all the ice is pushed out again. So our ice in our region is not, there is no good safe ice in our region unless you're going out in a boat. Tomorrow we have the all-day session with the students at Jerusalem, and we deliver the ice safety program that we've done in the past. So it's a collaboration of the school, a resource officer, the fire department, and ODNR. So it's we do every single grade and educate them on no ice is safe ice. But again, just reinforcing, we had a success story when the girls identified that their grandfather was in trouble in the pond. So we're very proud of the fact that our kids are learning it. It was interesting. I was over at one of the firemen's house last night, and he has children. And I said, well, you got ice, right? You just ice safety training? And she says, no, I don't. I'm at Eisenhower now. And she started spewing off all of the key points that she's supposed to know. So, again, it's really rewarding when you have that. You may have saw that we responded to a bus accident this morning on Jerusalem Road. There were no injuries. It was a minor fender bender deal, but the officer wanted to be extra cautious and make sure fire did respond. But I had gone there earlier and met with the bus and the Dean Sandwich was there. So, but it's okay. What, you know, the officer wanted. We have an opportunity, and I would like to have the authorization to spend up to, I'll just say $19,000 out of our budget. And there is a brand new battery operated spreaders and cutters with, it takes the M28 batteries, so the Milwaukee M28s, and the package includes total of four batteries, two chargers, the two tools. This tool came about, and I'm not 100% positive it's available, but if it is, I would like permission to buy it. We're selling it for $18,500. I don't think there's anything else beyond that, but it normally sells for $35,000. So we do have the Jaws of Life. We have that equipment, but this is battery operated, so now we don't have to hook up the pumps and the hoses and everything to it. So I'm confident we have sufficient funds in our budget to be able to afford this. So if you would consider that. I do need to know quick because it's first come, first serve on this.
This will carry the warranties and everything on them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everything. It's brand new equipment. This is not demo. This is not used equipment. This is brand new.
And we're into the new year, so you're... what'd you say it was, 36,000 new normally?
New, the new is 35,000.
35,000. And you think you can get it for 18,500, but you
18,500.
Want it
to be... I just said not to exceed, just because if it's 18,500, then I'm going to be incorrect. You know what I'm saying?
And this is to replace like a gas version you already have?
It is. This is a battery version, so it is a little bit lighter tooling, but the it's still 10,000 pounds energy force, pretty much the same as what we have. We will still keep our gas-driven one because we have hydraulic rams. Hmm. So we use rams for different operations. This gives us a cutter and a spreader without having to be connected to anything. So
it'd be a lot quicker for you, too.
Yes, I mean, it is. And it's moving to the right future. You know,
you got to get the pump out. It usually takes two guys to get the pump out. Then you got to hook the hose up. Then you got to get the jaws, get it started. Nine times out of ten, you're doing it in the dark.
Right.
So, I don't see it being a bad purchase, especially if you can save that kind of money, Chief. I move for the Chief to purchase this, not to exceed $19,000 on the battery operated tools.
Yeah. I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench, Alex Ludden.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much for the support. I appreciate it. Any other questions or anything else I can assist with?
What's the vendor for the...
It's the Stryker dealer. The same...
So Stryker is...
It's Stryker. Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
One other thing I wanted to share with you is we currently have a trial of a power steer chair, and I'm going to pursue with the BWC grant the purchase of one of their stair chairs and a Lucas device. In the future, I may want to purchase one stair chair, so both rigs would have a powered stair chair. Right now, as of yesterday, I loaned ours to Oregon. When they have the Oregon Senior Lofts building, it's a multi-story building, and the elevator system goes out, they don't have any really way of getting the patients up and the residents up and down or even in an emergency. So I loaned them ours last night, and they're getting one supposedly tomorrow. But it's just, I wanted to share that, you know, we do the best we can to help each other and get through things. So, but again, not tonight, but another time I'll be looking to talk to you further on that. We did receive the fiscal officer just got it yesterday. But we did receive a little over $4,500 from State of Ohio. Captain Chuck Flack is the one that wrote the grant for that. We have to provide justification of what we spent the monies towards and stuff like that. So, it was a deposit that will go into the fire account. Sorry, now any other questions? I keep going.
I just know that the kids at Jerusalem are looking forward to ice safety every year. They look forward to it. They love it. Absolutely love it.
Thank you.
We have a big field up behind our house, and that's flooded. That's all ice from everything. And I go out there with my kids to try to play on it. You know, we'll slide on it. And
yeah.
Before they and my girls get on, they're always like, Daddy, no ice is safe ice. Be careful. I'm like, oh, all right, well, thanks. So, the kids look forward to it, so it's awesome.
All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay, maintenance department. Kevin.
The new truck that we got, we did have an issue as far as salt spreader and stuff working on it. We had, at this point, pretty much looks like a controller failure on it. They sent me another controller. We put the controller in. It still is not working properly, but can be used. The automatic side of it doesn't function at all at this point. So while Dave's down there, he's supposed to meet with him and talk to him about that. The 550 blew a hydraulic line the last time, so we got that replaced. That was something we had on hand. Other than that, we're starting into regular maintenance headed towards spring. Another breakdown we had, the backhoe from Grottle failed to start, so that's been fixed. They came out and fixed that today. I think that's it for all the bad news I had, but that stuff, you know, like I said, the big truck's usable for salting and plowing now. Before, we could only just scrape with it, then another truck had to chase it around the salt, so that was sort of a poor idea.
Well, I would say as much as we've messed around with that truck and had the county out here, I think that truck needs to go back down there as soon as the season's over and have them get it right and get it fixed.
Well, that trucking company also deals with Collider Truck. So I asked David, that way he's down there, that he would suggest that maybe we go to Collider Truck with it. One, it's a lot closer. And if there's an issue, I can drive over there and be there in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But I agree. I'm.
And if they do it at Clyde, it's going to be no cost to us.
They would pay for it.
Yeah, because it's not been right since we bought it. It was a brand new truck. So.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah. Food pantry. Nobody here from the food pantry. Okay, back to old business. Jerusalem Township Road Mileage Certification. Well, I guess Dave's not here to talk about it because he met with the commissioner and the engineer.
And I've talked to both of them also. I've talked to Sobecki and Mike Panuski and Anita Lopez, but Mike has guaranteed that this is all the roads we're getting. There will be no more roads given to the township.
Get that in writing.
Well, you're exactly right.
Get it in blood.
Amongst my conversations with Sobecki, Lisa Sobecki, you know, I was very blunt with her and how dissatisfied I am with the commissioners. But I said, you know, you guys make these decisions without even reaching out to us to see how it's going to affect us. I go, you guys did it with the 911, you're doing it with the roads, and I go, all this is doing is costing us more money. I mean, money that we don't have. She did say that is something that they would definitely take into consideration when they make a decision that's going to affect the township, is to reach out to us first to have a discussion. She did talk about doing a coffee with the commissioners every so often at all the different different townships in the county. And I think I left her with, I'm fine with you or Anita coming out here, but leave Pete Gerken over on that side of town. So, you know, Big Brother, they're going to do what they want. They have the loophole, they can do it. And I still have refused to sign the certification that they wanted to sign, but by default, it comes to us. So, and I know Dave, I did talk to Dave,
after he had the meeting with them. The one plus is for this year is they are still going to mow the roads because it was in their contract with the mower last year. Must have been a two-year deal. So they are going to mow them. And when I had talked to Panuski, he had also confirmed that to Dave is they are still going to spray the guardrails for us, do the spraying, because that worked really well last year. They got on it a little late, but it kept the weeds down, and they're willing to keep spraying for us. So we're going to dodge the bullet on mowing this year, it sounds like. And then, you know, it may be one of the things that we look at. Does it make sense for the township to contract like the county does instead of putting Kevin and Eric in the mower for all these roads that we have now and wearing out our equipment, wearing out our hours? It would be something to look at. You know, get a price. This is what it's going to cost to do just our 33.942 miles of road. It may be a better deal than tying their time up and putting the wear and tear on our mowers to do it. So it'd be something to look at. I don't know if it will be, but that's a lot of road mowing.
Thing you got to realize is that is the only company that will even bid on it.
Well, that's the only company that will bid on the entire county. There may be companies that will bid on the township. You know what I'm saying? And I agree with that. That might be the only company that will. He's coming out of Columbus. Is that where he's?
Yeah,
I think he's coming out of.
Right down by Columbus.
So that might be the only company that's big enough or that's crazy enough to bid on the entire county of Lucas County. But you might be able to find other companies that will bid on a smaller chunk of it. So we might have our options. It might be an option.
If we did that, I would still expect it to be mowed back to at least the full.
Yeah. And number of stipulations that we can set when we go to have it quoted. So that's all I got on the roads, and that's pretty much what I heard from Dave, too. But he kind of had the same thing I had, so.
Yep. Okay. Well, I guess we'll move on. I'll just reiterate real quick on number two here. So the Ohio Lake Erie Commission Coastal and Shoreline Resilience Grant. This is the grant we partnered with the Conservancy on, and we just got official approval that they're going to give us $148,000 to continue with the project. Adam pretty much covered all the ins and outs of that for right now. So I guess I'll move on to 11755 Rachel Road.
So this was the house on Rachel and Rialto that it was vacant. It caught on fire. Fire department put it out, knocked it down with the backhoe, I think. And then the township paid to have it finished, demoed, graded, and I think they capped the well.
Yep.
Was there. A gentleman sent out an email that had bought the property at a sheriff's sale, and when he bought it, they were totally surprised to see that there was either $7,800 or $8,700 assessment on the property that was not wiped away. So when you buy something on the sheriff's sale, usually all the taxes are wiped away. Well, there's the assessment on there from that we assessed the property for tearing down the buildings and grading it out. Well, the county can't get rid of special assessments. So he had reached out, sent an email saying that Lucas County was really befuddled by this, that we didn't waive the special assessment, and was asking for us to either waive the special assessment or work with him on it. So I did end up having a conversation with the gentleman. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if this is a resident of the township that's going to build a house, he's telling me how they're going to build a house and put a pole barn up, and, you know, I'm like, okay, if this is a resident of the township, you know, I could possibly see that. But after I talked to him, he has an investment firm that is going to build the house and flip it. Unfortunately, we still have our money invested in it. So my opinion is, we got to get paid for. He would have had to get paid to get it taken down and do everything that we did. The township should be able to recoup their money for that. So.
Yeah, that money belongs to the residents of the township. Yep.
So.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
Okay. So that's we don't need a motion. It just he called me last Wednesday. We had a pretty long conversation about it, and I said the only thing I can do is bring it to the board of trustees. I told him the way I thought it was going to go, but I said I would bring it to the board. So.
Yeah, he met with zoning too. He came in with a set of plans and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last week. It shocked me because I didn't know that. I thought we'd taken possession of the property, and I didn't remember it being sold. Because, as a matter of fact, I had the contractor when they were doing the work on Rialtra using that lot because I thought we owned it. So.
And we did find, just speaking of property sales, we did find that the Becerra's Pizza or Wolfner's Wharf did get sold. And it has been purchased by a resident.
What are they doing with the fuel tanks?
Well, the gentleman that bought it, and if anybody in here knows him, his name's Charles Reardon, lives out this way. I've tried to find him, tried to look him up, with no success. But that was purchased through the Lucas County Land Bank. And the Lucas County Land Bank knew that those tanks were there. And I was curious if they disclosed that information to him or not. Because I would say if they didn't, I would think that he might have some recourse on it. Because that's something they should have definitely disclosed, in my opinion, to him.
Now, the Rachel Road property, with you demoing the house, this guy owns the property, so the township demoed?
He just bought it. He just bought it he bought it in April, I think, of last year. From the sheriff's sale. We demoed the property because of the fire.
Safety.
And it was a safety hazard, so we had to demo it. And then once we demoed it, we had to abate the well. So once the chief deemed it a safety hazard, we had to act on it, and that's why we assessed the taxes, which
but is nobody reached out to them that this had to be demoed, that there had been a fire.
Oh, they didn't own it when it was demoed.
Yeah, they didn't own it prior to the with the house standing on it.
So the house was on it, had the fire, demoed. And then it went for tax foreclosure. Somebody new bought it.
Yeah, so this guy bought it.
This guy didn't do any kind of tax title search?
Well, that's what I guess what happened was that the county was shocked that that was still on there and they couldn't get rid of it. This Julie Ford that he talked to.
I'm going to be shocked. I mean, we assess properties all the time.
This guy's a major development. He should have done his research.
And that's exactly how I look at it, too. So,
and I don't even know if he knows it's in the floodplain or not.
Well, he said he does, and he does all now. All the stuff that he's got to do to go through it, and
good investment.
Yeah. So.
The only way he'll get away with building is there's sewer there.
There should be a tap there, because I think they discontinued the tap.
There is, because the sewer comes right down Rialto to Rachel, and then goes to the west.
This house of power.
Yeah.
It's a lake for you then.
Did we get to assess the Sarah Pizza place when we
were? That's at the corner, isn't it?
No, because that was supposed to be grant money.
To the end?
Yeah, the opposite end of Rialto.
Oh.
Yeah.
But the one that we are getting out of was the, they had some high assessments that we couldn't get out of even at the township with 810 Water Street. Because that had all the assessments for the sewers. And they were never paid. We paid on them quarterly or however, every 6 months, yearly on it, but they there was still quite a high assessment on it, if I remember, Joel. That was the one that he wanted gone more than anything, and it's.
I want them all gone.
Well, we're down to a list of
small. Yeah, we're getting there.
We're not in the real estate business.
That's right. So.
Well, we are currently. We shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got on them.
Okay. Next item, Toledo Raw Water Main Project. So, myself and Dave attended a public meeting at the Toledo Water Treatment Plant regarding the replacement of the raw water main, which will go from the plant at the end of Yondota all the way to the Toledo Water Treatment Plant. This project has been going to be going on for the next several years. It's going to take them a couple years to start because they still have some design work and easements and stuff like that that they need to do. There's going to be an impact to the residents, and they are going to have several public meetings to kind of get everything sorted out, but they're going to have several public meetings over the next 3 years. So probably at some point in the future, I'll do like a Facebook post and a website post and stuff like that to give everybody the full details. But just so everybody knows, that project's coming.
But the impacts weren't huge. I mean, what'd you say? I mean, other than where they're going to be digging the line.
They are going to be, they'll put in some temporary, culverts to drive over ditches. And they're going to have some roads closed temporarily. And they're going to tear up some people's yards over off of Marquette and Cedar Point. There's going to be semis with pipes. There's actually going to be a pretty big impact. Which they're going to have three public hearings over the next 3 years before the project starts, so people have their opportunity to voice some input and hear how the project's going to work. So that's in the works, but the first public meeting for that, that's probably the most important thing I can talk about, is it's going to be in May of this year, and they're going to have a public hearing at Eisenhower Middle School. They gave a date, but I'm not sure that date was solid yet. So as it gets closer and we get a solid date, I'll publish that so everyone knows and can go to the public hearing and participate and see what's going on. So that's what I got on that. Yes, next item. I think these are things Dave put on here. Regional Growth Partnership.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, and I know he's got a little more information on it, but this is regards to that server farm they're putting in Oregon. They're putting a big server farm there.
Oh.
The data center?
Yeah, data center. Sorry, data center. And that's, I don't remember the exact numbers of what it was going to generate funds for the schools and for the city of Oregon. And this Gary Thompson is in this Regional Growth Partnership. And the one thing that they're looking for these data centers is power. And with the substation over here is something that really attracts them. So they just need a place to put it. And again, I'm not crazy about it because it's commercial and it'd be coming outside of our corridor probably outside of our commercial corridor. I just know that Dave was talking to him about it. That's the information I have on that. So something to look at.
Yeah. All right. Marquette Road Project payment approval.
Yes. So we got the invoice. This just got delivered. Unfortunately, this invoice was dated for 12/30 of 2024, and this was the Marquette Road Project where they extended the storm sewer line north along Marquette Road, which now the entire road has it.
Mm-hmm. Might be one little gap in the middle.
Is there one little gap?
I think there's a gap.
Well, this was like they stopped us 320 feet short of Cujinal Road. It was like, why did they never finish it originally? So anyway, I think I started on this project in like June or July last year. Was waiting on Burkhart. Burkhart finally got the invoice. It was $10,300. Well, now that the year's closed, we have to reapprove this for Joel to pay the invoice. Is that correct, Joel? What you need is we need a motion. So, I move to approve the Burkhart and Sons Excavating invoice of $10,300
since the Arquette Road project is finished.
I'll second.
Roll call. Dave Bench. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Will Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Give that to Joel.
Yep.
And can you just give me that check, Joel, and I'll take and pick it up.
Come right here,
yep.
Oh, I got it right here. Come on.
Okay, next item, TMCOG General Assembly Meeting. Also, Dave thing.
Yep.
So, okay. All right, Everbridge System.
Yes. So, did you see the email?
I did not see that email.
So, Abby Bishop. Bishop?
I'd say Bishop.
All right. With the Lucas County EMA. We originally had the WEN system. This was something that Mark Sattler had set up back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. The WEN system is being revised to reflect, they're going away with WENs and it's going to this new Everbridge. And in the email, there's a memorandum of agreement for shared internal and non-emergency use of Everbridge mass notification system. So, it looks like the first year, it's been predetermined at a rate of $3,200. Which, when we originally started the WENs, it was, I think, under $2,500. Okay? But then it goes on that... let me see if I can find it right here. Right now, the county...
Or subsidizing it. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes. So right now, Lucas County is going to subsidize it for the 2025 year.
Nice of them.
And conveniently, they're going to be pulling the money out of the Regional Council of Government, which is the 911 money that we all fought. So, what I'm afraid of is that you sign up for it this year, it's $3,200. The county pulls out next year and it's going to cost us $10,000 or $8,000 for this thing. My personal opinion on it is for as little as it gets used, I know it was being used there for a while with garbage to remind people when garbage day was. I know we've used it a few times with the fire department. I cannot justify spending $3,200 of taxpayer money on this notification system with all of the means of communication that are out there today. I mean, I literally was standing in Vernon's barn on Saturday and I got a phone call about the ice rescue. By the time I left Vernon's barn and made it there, there were residents everywhere down there. It was that fast. And I mean, we're talking 2 miles down the road. It happened that fast that the information spreads that fast. Now, I'm not saying it's official business or official information, but the information is getting out there. So, I just don't see... I don't want to spend the money with the county on it. But the fire chief has a comment, question.
Yeah. The other, I go along with you, sir. I tend to agree to not subscribe to it. My fear is I've also heard rumors that we may be doing away with the sirens. So all of this just sort of feels like, is this another FirstEnergy, Toledo Edison way of getting out of financial responsibilities of alerting systems? Now, the sirens are supposed to remain as tornado, as county sirens, but the for the nuclear accident, they would no longer be responsible to have sirens. Mm. So are they trying to use, because they're saying it's an antiquated system, everyone has got cell phones, and I disagree because I believe we do have residents in this community that does not. They may not even have a rotary phone. But I'm a little leery of it as a citizen, not as the fire chief. I don't like the fact that Edison now is going to be removing these sirens. And then, because they're also saying it's going to change our Davis-Bessie response plan as emergency. So they're saying we won't have to do route verification. We won't have to do route notification. We won't have to do that. Everyone's relying on this freaking cell phone to do everything. And I'm sorry, I don't have the faith in, no way do I have the faith in the system, because the ice fisherman, the route and the lake kept losing signal. He couldn't communicate to dispatch. So we do not have a competent cellular system in this community. It's been proven time and time again. Nobody's going to address that. No one's going to do anything about it because it's too small of a community to deal with. So I agree with you, sir. I just, as a citizen, I'm agreeing with you just to, no.
Yeah, I mean, we've used it a couple times to notify people that the cell system, a couple times to notify people of closed roads and stuff, but the information's already out there before right. we could post right. it. So, yeah.
I the county's taking, we're spending money everywhere we can. I mean, the county just keeps wanting more and more money, and if you're good with it, I will email Abby tomorrow and let her know that we are not interested in joining the new Everbridge system.
Yeah.
You should make a motion just to accept that.
Sure.
What's that?
I think you should make a motion, so it's in there.
So I move not to enter in an agreement with the Lucas County Emergency Management Agency for the use of the Everbridge mass notification software.
I'll second.
Roll call, Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Benz? Motion carried. There you go.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else on that, the last item on here, endorsement of America 250, Ohio. I haven't had a chance to look at this, have you?
I didn't see it. When did this come across?
What is it?
It
came across today.
Yeah, it literally just came across today right before I got here. Gary, do you know much about it?
Is that about the bicentennial?
Yeah. So it's the legislator and the governor create America 250 in 2021 to plan, encourage, develop, and coordinate the commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the United States and Ohio's integral role in the event and the role of its people on the nation's past, present, and future. This hopes to engage all Ohioans and all 88 counties through their many signatures and official recognized programs, projects, and events over the next several years by inspiring future leaders and celebrating all Ohioans. It says that basically if we pass this rather hope we to educate, preserve, and celebrate. I don't think there's actually anything that we have to do. Was there anything else tied to this, you know?
I have no idea.
We can wait the next.
Yeah, let's just wait.
They will have more. Paper there, I think, is connected with the grant paper that was left with Joel because he asked me.
That's it.
About because it has to be filed by the 30th, and there's possible money that we could get if we were going to put on anything for the bicentennial. Some passing information and questions. I got phone calls to relay.
I doubt that the township is going to do any event for the bicentennial. Do you, Gary? I mean,
I'm looking up right now.
You're kind of the.
Should we paint the garage door in front of the station again?
I mean, if it's something that I'll look into it. I don't hate the idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
It had to be done by the 30th of this month?
I think that's what the grant paper. That's what David had said.
I will figure something out. I'll look into it.
Well, the 30th is what? Tomorrow.
2 days.
2 days.
Yeah. 2 days.
Yeah. I don't know. All right.
Okay. Last item of business. Upcoming meetings, Ohio Township Association Winter Conference. That's where Dave and Rob are at tonight in preparation for the next couple of days. I'm going down there tomorrow for just Wednesday. Not much to say about it, really. Just the usual Ohio Township Association stuff. So, okay, I guess with that, public participation.
I do have a question. So, with that project you're talking about, that the line going from Yondota to Toledo?
Yeah.
So, these roads that all these semis are going to be traveling on, this, that, and the other, are they any of the roads that the township is trying to jump on top of us that needs
county
to be brought up to code? So if they do bring them up to code, they're already going to be deteriorated by the time we get them?
I was thinking about that when they started talking about semis coming up the roads with these giant steel pipes, and I'm like...
Yeah, but isn't that contractor going to be somewhat responsible if they truck it and destroy a road? They're going to have to resurface it,
well,
rebuild it?
I'm looking at down the road, not what you're going to see. I'm looking at structural integrity of the breakdown of the base of the road over years, not just damage that, you know, that is going to develop when you drive the road and look at it.
Well, to begin with, them roads don't have the initial base to handle that kind of stuff, so they're going to totally destroy them.
Right, but, you know, what appears on the top and what is actually done is two different, in my opinion, could be two different ways of looking at it.
And these are good questions for the meetings.
Meetings,
because, Yondota Road, going from corduroy back into there, I mean, that's getting, how often are heavy trucks going back in there to the water plant?
I think a couple times a week there's semi that goes back there for whatever chemicals they use.
They're probably not running that heavy.
But typically before any of them, it's just like when the dike was built. The county, actually, they'll videotape every road and they mark everything down. Then when a project's over, they'll go back, re-videotape everything. And any road that is damaged or showing cause of damage, they have them completely come in. And if it's to take it back down to the base and fix it, they do that. And if I remember, it's been so long since we had one of these type projects, they also hold them to a bond for so many years after the project for any failures due to the weight that was on them. I'm not too worried as much about Cujo and Decant because those were county roads and they're pretty decent sized roads. But when you start hitting Cedar Point Road, Arquette Road's another touchy one. You know, they're definitely going to be damaged to these roads, especially with semis and the weights.
Any corners they got to turn to, they're going to damage.
One thing about that too, I'm glad you brought that up about Cedar Point. I know in the conversations with the commissioners, Cedar Point Road needs widened, and they're going to go after the grants to widen that road, to get that paid for by grants.
Alex, at last meeting, if I'm correct, didn't you say they're also replacing the underwater piping from the intake to the shoreline? To that thing, because it's my understanding that their pre-training contractors to do that type of underwater work, but that also means they'll be using Park Colony to access the lake through Growl's property with barges.
I don't know that they're... I know over this past summer they did some work on the line that goes from...
You mentioned last month that they were going to replace that line because they were actually not welded, they were bolted together.
No, that is this line. The line from...
The underground or underwater?
Underground.
Okay, but I've been told by contractors that they're also replacing underwater because it takes special equipment operators and contractors to do that type of work. So
I can ask them about that. I know over the past summer they replaced the line that goes from... Yondota out to the intake. Over the summer, they had done some work on that line and replaced some it's like a sample feed line that goes, it's like a couple mile long sample feed line that's only a few inches in diameter. And they replaced that over the summer. Now, maybe they saw something during then, but I could ask them about it. Yeah, I'd be happy to ask them about it. Let me write that down. Okay, any other public comment? All right, so I'd like to make a motion to adjourn. Oh, we're stuck here until you let us go.
I'm waving goodbye.
I can say that.
Roll call, Dave Bench. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bob Miller.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned 8 p.m.